Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 86, recorded May 29th, 2025.
We'll do it live.
Woo! All right.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Awesome. There we go. Hey.
Hey now. Yes.
Been watching them. Revisited.
Yeah.
Toast to London.
It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. You got to get BritBox now if you want to watch Toast of London.
Yeah.
I've got my sources.
Oh, no. Nice.
It's not
Black
BritBox.
Market, huh?
Yeah, Black Market. Well,
the
you
dark
know,
web.
The dark web.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get started with some horror news. All right. Our news. Shudder has acquired a supernatural thriller called Good Boy.
That looks good.
This is an exclusive from Deadline.com. Shudder has acquired the distribution rights for a supernatural thriller called Good Boy throughout the U.S., Canada, U.K., Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand following the film's premiere at South by Southwest in March. Good Boy, which redefines the horror haunted house horror genre, telling its horror tale through the eyes of a family dog.
That's neat. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it seems interesting. So,
I read about that, I think, on Bloody Disgusting. I was like, oh, that sounds like it'd be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Control yourself!
Sorry. I didn't mean to.
Right, the next news story. The Conjuring Last Rites released a trailer, and it looks pretty good.
I don't know anything about that movie.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, so I sent the trailer is listed on our Blue Sky account, so if you want to watch it, go there or go to YouTube and type in Conjuring Last Rites trailer. Event Horizon is releasing a comic book prequel series with IDW. Variety Magazine reports that it's been 30 years ago since we were spooked in 1997 by Paramount's cult horror Event Horizon, and it's getting its very first expansion.
Nice.
Rather than hitting screens, however, Event Horizon Dark Descent is an official comic book prequel series from IDW Publishing, and the first issue will be hitting shelves in August. It's a five-part series, which, according to publishers, will embrace the hard R rating of the movie and terrifying cinematic universe, created by director Paul W.S. Anderson and writer Philip Eisner. This is taking place before the events of the film, and the comics will tell the story of the final fate of the original Horizon crew and ask what really happened to Captain Kilpak on the first crew and their ship journeyed across the nightmarish realm into torments beyond imagining.
That's not how I'd ask it. I wouldn't ask it like that. I'd be like, what the fuck happened to them?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that like 1 minute like film
flashbacks
footage of,
of all that was like fucking insane.
Jesus Christ, dude. I don't know if they would put that into pen and paper. That might give me nightmares again.
Yeah.
Seriously, that gave me nightmares, that movie, for a while.
Yeah, it was awesome. I love that movie. I have multiple versions of it now. So
nice.
I just wish that the hard R, very dark version that got on the cutting room floor would have been nice. Would have been nice to have it, but it'll never be seen. The Long Walk has released a trailer. Not much more to say about that. It looks
Stephen King, right?
Looks interesting. Yeah,
Mark Hamill is the Colonel, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that story, so I'm really looking forward to the movie.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they did something fun with it.
You throw Mark Hamill in there, and I'm all on board.
Yep.
Yeah. According to Slash Film, this was a very interesting article. According to Slash Film, David Zaslav from, of course, you know, Warner Brothers, HBO Max, whatever, killed the TV sequel to Tucker Dale versus Evil.
Oh, you fucker.
Yep.
Asshole.
The quote here from the article, honestly, Tucker and Dale 2 has died more deaths than the college kids in Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
That's a good one.
We've had so many versions that we have almost got off of its feet, or for one reason or another have gotten killed. It really does set us back that the people can't look at the box office, the actual box office of the movie. It's always been a struggle. Then when we set it up, put all that stuff together, and it somehow gets killed. We almost did a TV show that was for TNT/TBS. But you'll be happy to know that David Zaslav, the slayer of all cinema, that's the one, came in and put the final nail in the coffin for Tucker and Dale. We were just about to boot off the production of the series, and it got immediately canceled by Zaslav.
That's an asshole.
Wow.
Fuck that guy. First of all, the fact that they went from HBO Max to just Max and then back to HBO Max, he should have been fired for that. Yep. He should have been fired. He took a brand that is 40 years old.
HBO is way more popular than Cinemax, too.
And then fucking shit all over it.
Well, it depends what time you watched it. Right? Yeah. Cinemax was popular after midnight.
Yeah. Indeed.
More popular than HBO.
Even if it was scrambled.
Mom and dad are out of town. Let's see if we can tune in.
I just saw a nipple there. Look at that.
You know, the funniest thing is once my aunt got a job at the cable company, she got us HBO, Cinemax, and Prism for free. One night last year, there was some horror movie with a snake with the Joe Bob and the fucking Last Drive-In.
Oh, yeah.
And Darcy the Mail Girl said that reminded me of Hard Ticket to Hawaii. And then I replied back to her on Twitter. I'm like, holy shit. I remember watching that when I was a little kid on fucking Skinemax. Hard Ticket to Hawaii was like one of those softcore porns that Cinemax would play at night.
Nice. Feeling kind of funny right now. What's going on?
Yeah, what the hell? I think Dad's right. This shit will turn me to stone. I'm getting hard already. yeah. All right. The original Blade trilogy writer says, "Hey, Marvel, give me a call."
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, right? Pretty good work.
Yeah, Liam Crowley said, "Yo, I cracked the code earlier, and they're having such a hard time getting it off the ground. Give me a call. I'm open."
There you go. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, according to Screen Rant, they asked him, "Would you write it?" And he says, "I would. I always loved the character, and I love the new actor they picked to play the part. I would write it in a dead second. Marvel, give me a call."
Do it. Come on, Kevin Feige.
Yeah. All right. Sam Rockwell to star in a zombie comedy called Hellhound, according to Joe Blow.
Ah, nice. Love Sam Rockwell.
Yeah. Joe Blow posted an article that they have an exclusive here saying fresh off the stealing scene following this debauched turn in HBO's White Lotus, Sam Rockwell is off to New York to fight zombies in the director Zach Golden.
Did you guys see him in that White Lotus show?
Yeah, he's fucked
dude,
up.
Dude, he was off the fucking wall,
off
dude.
The fucking wall,
was that the the newest season?
Yeah.
I have to watch that. I didn't watch it, but I love
dude,
Sam Rockwell.
His character was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And he did a great job.
Dude, he's an amazing actor. He's an amazing actor.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Anyway, he says Rockwell will be joined by the great Marissa Tomei, Chris Messina, and what's being called a zombie comedy. Here's the official synopsis via the press release to JoeBlow.com. When a zombie outbreak hits a small town in New York, a washed-up veterinarian must team up with his ex-wife and her new cop boyfriend to stop President William White and his right-hand man, General Graves, from destroying New York City. It's a battle of zombie power. Unresolved feelings and the fate of millions rest in the hands of the guy who already has given up. All right. It sounds like it's going to be funny.
Nice.
All right. HBO Max or HBO, whatever the fuck it's called nowadays, has released a teaser trailer for It. Welcome to Derry.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty fucking good. It had a little comment at the end in the posting. It said, get ready to go back to where it all began.
Yeah, I don't think that they didn't show any of Pennywise in the trailer at all, did they?
Nope.
I was like, I'm waiting. I'm like, they're going to show at least at the very end.
Nothing. Nope.
Their teaser trailer.
Keeping it a secret. Yep. I don't know if you guys keep up on all this stuff all the time, but I tell you what, last week they released a trailer for Street Prom Queen.
Okay.
That came out, I think.
Yeah, it's out. It's out.
Oh, is it out?
Yeah, I think it came out Friday.
May 23rd.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to watch it. We were waiting.
I watched the trailer of it. I haven't watched it yet because I've been too busy with work, but I'll probably watch it Saturday night or something.
I think what I'm doing.
Saturday night, I'm actually going.
Is that just the once and done too? Like the other ones, was there three? Right.
I think
I thought this was a once and done.
There was a two-parter. No.
Okay.
I didn't read that.
What is called prom night? So I mean, how do you do? Yeah. I mean, it could be the day after prom night.
Yeah.
It's prom night at Shadyside High is underway, and the schoolgirls are busy jockeying for the crown, but the candidates start to disappear. A gutsy outsider learns she's in for one hell of a prom night.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Yeah, all right.
Yes.
Yes! Is this for real?
You bet your ass it is. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, so that's out already. Fuck, my notes even say May 23rd, and I'm fucking... All right. Anyway. Evil Dead Burn... adds some new characters to his cast. According to Deadline.com, Hunter Duren, Lycan Buchan, and Tandy Wright. Listen, the director of Infested is directing this.
Well, that's all you got to say, man. That's all you got to say.
You already sold your ticket.
Was he French? He didn't take French in high school?
That's correct. Sebastian Vanek.
Okay.
I mean, some of his direction in Infested was amazing, so I'm looking forward to what he's going to do with some deadites instead of some spiders.
Yeah. Character details are under wraps. Sebastian Vanek, the filmmaker behind the spider flick Infested, is directing from a script written with Florent Bernard. The film was produced and franchised in veteran Rob Tappert. Oh, wow, Rob Tappert's producing it. That's cool. He did the old Evil Dead films, more or less.
Nice.
And a series of creators and series creator Rams, Sam Raimi is also co-producer. Rommel Adam, Jose Canvas, and Lee Cronin will executive produce alongside with Bruce Campbell. The cult icon known for his starring role as Ash in the various Evil Dead projects, beginning with Raimi's iconic 1981 film, The Evil Dead.
Yes.
Yes, Evil Dead Burn. Here's one.
Yes!
There's one for you. Go for it.
You are a fucking star, aren't you?
Yes, it is. All right. I don't know if you guys took a look at it yet, but I think I sent it to you. Toxic Avenger released a long teaser called the Killer Nuts teaser trailer. I don't know if you watched it.
But shit, I forgot to watch it.
Hilarious.
I was going to watch it before tonight, and I forgot. Damn it.
Killer Nuts! All right. Yeah, you got to watch it. It looks good. I'm stoked for that unrated film.
Is that going to get wide release in the theaters, or I'm thinking not, huh? Since it's unrated?
It's unrated, so probably not, but we'll see. Alien Earth released some sneak peek images on EW.com. Alien Earth will premiere Tuesday, August 12th, with the first two episodes dropping on FX at 8 p.m. and on Hulu at 8 p.m. One new episode will then premiere each following Tuesday. Yeah, we don't know many details about it, but hey, Alien, I'll give it a try.
Sure. Earth,
why not?
I mean, I live there, so...
Listen, as long as it's better than Aliens versus Predator...
I liked that. I thought it was decent.
Really?
Yeah.
It was okay. It wasn't fucking great. You know. All right. Guillermo del Toro Frankenstein trailer is coming on Saturday. Woof, woof, woof.
Yeah, I'm not going to be a horror though, according to him.
No, he says very emotional. Very emotional.
The original was emotional too.
I'm cool with that.
Right?
I'm cool with that.
You kind of felt bad for the monster in the original,
and the little girl.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
I felt real bad for her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. I mean, Guillermo del Toro.
He does some good shit. I loved his Pinocchio.
I didn't watch it yet. It's on my list. It's on my list.
It was really good.
Yeah.
That was emotional.
Okay. It's like 2.5 hours. I think that's maybe why I haven't.
Yeah, probably.
Something like that.
All right. Eli Roth says he's directing The Ice Cream Man is expected to be his most terrifying and insane film yet.
Didn't Cliff Howard do a movie called The Ice Cream Man or something?
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be the same one or just. They should get him back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clint Howard. Clint Howard.
Yeah.
I know who you meant.
Yeah.
B movie and horror movie icon, Clint Howard.
Yes.
Yeah, apparently it starts filming this summer. So, hey, that's pretty awesome.
It's a good time to do Ice Cream Man movie.
Yes, it is. And I got one last story, which is Bring Her Back. A new trailer, lots of advertisements, comes out tomorrow. Be sure to see it. I got to see the premiere of it, which was pretty awesome.
I don't know anything about that movie.
Yeah.
Now, this was an LA premiere. It was public. It was fun. I actually had
seats.
Fede Alvarez was sitting two seats behind.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. I forgot. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
And he hosted a Q&A afterwards, which was pretty awesome.
Did you share your popcorn with him?
I did not have popcorn. I had a Philly style pretzel.
Oh, okay. Nice. Was it good?
It was actually good, like a Philly. It was almost like a Wawa pretzel.
It was cold and tasted like piss.
Yeah, it was like a Wawa pretzel. Yeah, a Philly style Wawa piss pretzel. Yeah. Yeah. And it was definitely not the New York slow roasted over trash pretzel.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me, "What's the difference between New York and Philly pretzel?" I said, "Philly pretzel was dipped in a shoe full of piss.
You buy it out of a grocery cart."
Yeah. And the New York pretzels are roasted over a can of trash.
One end is still frozen, and the other end is warm and tastes like trash.
Hard as a rock and tastes and smells like trash. Yeah. So that was an interesting movie. All I can say is go see it. I mean, it frightened the shit out of me. And the guy, one of my friends that came with me, he was sitting next to me. He was like, I gotta leave. I hate this fucking movie.
It's amazing. It's amazing that these brothers, because like I watched the whole story.
It
was on 60 Minutes, and they just come off like they wouldn't, you know, put together good stuff. They're just like,
dude, they were hyperactive.
They're like,
fuck.
Yeah, that's why they still are.
Dude,
I'm watching these guys. I'm like, how can they like sit down and write stuff like that? You know.
I was standing in line. I didn't know who they were because I mean, I knew about the guys that directed Talk to Me, but I like never saw any interviews with them or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I'm standing in line to get my soda and my pretzel, and these two dudes like come running in. They bumped into me and they're like yelling and smacking each other, giving each other high fives. And I'm like, who the fuck are these?
It's
fucking
like the Bushwhackers.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was the writer directors. I'm like, what the fuck? They were fucking crazy.
Fucking Bushwhackers wrote a movie.
Yeah. And then you watch an interview with the mom on 60 Minutes Australia, and you can see that she is worn the fuck out from raising those kids, man.
That's funny shit.
Yeah, it was fucking insane. Actually, and I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the full length trailer definitely makes it look a lot better than the teaser trailer did. Like,
yeah.
The teaser trailer is like, I don't know, like, I'm not really getting
anything. The teaser really didn't give you enough to know what the hell was going on.
No, but this, I was like, holy shit, this looks creepy as shit.
Dude, just thinking about it gives me goosebumps because even if the guy next to me, like, he covered his face for a couple scenes that were really graphic.
Wow.
And you could not escape the sound editing. Ooh. The sound design was, fucking perfection.
Nice. Tomorrow, right? That comes out tomorrow?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Try to squeeze that in sometime in the next week.
Definitely get a chance to see it because it's fucking great.
2025, putting out some good stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. 2025 is the year of horror, baby. There's still so many things yet to come out. So
end of 2024 was good, too.
Yes, it was.
It's bleeding right into 25, yep.
I think the influence of all the horror in our existence nowadays is really spiking up the levels.
That is a good point.
All right, that's it for news. So fantastic. All right.
Did you see they canceled the Bondsman, those fuckers?
Yeah, that upsets me.
I watched a few episodes. I guess I'm glad I didn't finish it because
I liked it. I thought it was fun.
It was good. It was good. I mean, like I said,
did they finish open ended? No.
Yeah, they did. No. Yeah, they definitely
kind of. They kind of left it open to have a season two, but I'll say this: like we talked about it in the last episode.
I know.
And I'll say the same thing I said then. There were some,
plot holes.
Yeah, but they irritated the fuck out of me. Like one or two of them really irritated me, but it didn't stop me from enjoying the acting and the cast. You know, the cast was great because that female country singer, she is the mom in The Righteous Gemstones, mm-hmm. and then you had Kevin Bacon.
And I
was shocked the first episode when they fucking slit his throat and kill him in the first episode. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I was like, he was the star of the show.
Yeah, what the fuck? But yeah, it was a good show, and I'm sad that it got canceled. It's a bummer.
Bastards.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on to Five Flicks to Watch. Craig.
All right. I went to Amazon Prime.
Nice. All right.
I don't know why. It's just because it's just like there's only so many platforms, right?
Yeah, we're rotating through everything constantly, but there's always new stuff.
There is. Well, I don't know. It's pretty stale right now. I don't know why, especially on the horror. Like all the apps, for some reason, just not turning.
Shudder like, though, Shudder's got
yeah, that, oh, yeah, yeah,
a
yeah,
whole bunch of good ones this month.
Yeah, Ash is coming. No, is that that's not for a while yet either.
That's not for a while yet. Yeah.
Ash.
Yeah, that looks good. That, yep. I saw the premiere of that. That one was pretty good, too.
Yep. So, yeah, Amazon Prime, in no specific order again. The Fog popped up. Always a fan of that. I will always watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Always watch it when it comes on.
Creepy.
The TV. They did make a remake of it, and
yeah?
I thought that was good, too.
I don't think I've seen that.
No? It was good. Just as good. Onyx the Fortuitous was on there.
Okay.
Sort of forget. Yeah, I know. I think I'm going to watch that again now that I saw that it's on there.
I don't know.
Run, Sweetheart, Run.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Too.
Great movie.
Excellent. Like, it. I don't know why it didn't get more attention.
I don't know. Maybe the title was just bad.
I think it was in the theaters, but.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was. I really liked that a lot.
One of my favorite vampire movies.
That's
ever.
A good one.
Ever and ever. One. In lieu of the new movie, The Toxic Avenger is on Amazon Prime, so
nice.
You might want to dust that
can't,
off.
And, can't go and wrong with it. A trauma film.
So maybe dust that off in preparation for the new one.
Nice.
And there's a movie on there called The Deep House. Again, this one flew under the radar. This was out in the theaters, but nobody really said much about it, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I remember you talking about that. It was on Shudder for a while, I think, wasn't it?
No. I think it's just on Prime the whole time.
Okay. I thought I remember that being on
Shudder. I want to say, don't quote me, but I want to say it's a Blumhouse.
Hmm. Yeah, I remember you talking about that, and it's not that I don't want to see it. It's just, you know, I forgot about it.
Yeah.
Forget things sometimes.
So that's it. Yeah, so check out The Deep House.
Nice.
Nice. Get a chance.
Very good. Very good. All right. We got next is the top five list this month. Top five wilderness horror films.
Good call.
Chris, Craig, Sal is the list.
Yeah, so that could be interpreted numerous ways. I just, the wilderness was like a major part of the movie. You know, it didn't have to be.
Yep.
The wilderness was.
Yeah, it was tough because it was sort of open to interpretation. And, you know, I looked up the definition, and technically it could be, like, in the middle of the ocean. Like, just uninhabited by human.
Where just, things are wild.
That's right. So,
cabin out in the middle of the woods or
so
desert.
I was going to throw Jaws on it, but I just took it out because I didn't know if that would fly. But
for Memorial Day weekend, I watched Jaws.
Yeah.
4K edition.
Nice.
How's it look in 4K? Does it look
even? It is. I've got in my collection of 4Ks, which I got 230 of them now.
Yeah.
in my collection of 4Ks, my two favorite transfers.
Yeah.
Jaws and Space Odyssey 2001, A Space Odyssey. That
okay.
Those two are the best 4Ks I've ever seen.
So the shark always looked fake, but
it just the whole thing, just the picture quality, oh, yeah. The sound quality, they transferred in HDR, so they just look better than they probably ever did on film.
Nice.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So it is what? Chris Craig's out. Chris, you go first. Top five.
Okay, so my number five is Dead Snow.
Nice.
I haven't watched that one in a long time, but that's a great movie.
Did you watch part two? There is a
yeah.
part two.
Yeah, Red versus Dead, yeah. Where it's the Nazis versus the commies.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are actually both great films. My number four, Deliverance.
Oh, okay. That one popped into my head.
That movie was creepy as shit. Like, and it wasn't like, you know, it was like real shit. That hillbillies and that nasty sodomy
that's
scene
some
and
fucked up shit there.
Yeah. Number three, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Woohoo!
It's just a great twist on a Cabin in the Woods movie. And we just talked about that earlier, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Number two, Evil Dead.
Okay.
You know, it's probably on a lot of my lists. As I might as well just go with number
the
one.
Trees, the trees participate in the Evil Dead as well.
Yeah, yeah. And you see a lot of the shots like through the woods and stuff like that. And
yeah.
And so that just then my number one is Evil Dead 2, which
okay,
it felt kind of weird like doing that because I was like, is that cheating?
No, but, it's not.
No, it, you know, and there's actually a lot of ones out there that are like Cabin in the Woods type movies, but you know, if it's out sure. in the woods and shit like that, I figured that's wilderness esque. Yep.
Okay.
A couple honorable mentions: The Hills Have Eyes,
okay,
Wrong Turn, and In a Violent Nature, which is
yeah.
Twist on Friday the 13th, which didn't make my list.
Okay.
And that's my top five wilderness horror movies.
Okay, good. I got some
all right,
different
great,
ones.
Your turn.
All right. There was movies that I saw and I couldn't recall that I really enjoyed that were out in the middle of nowhere, but so number five, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Different
kind of wilderness, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More desert-ish.
But yeah, definitely out there.
But definitely
in the middle
out
of nowhere.
To, yep. Number four, Midsommar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I've never watched that movie a second time. I loved
have.
The movie, but I've never watched it a
yeah,
second time.
I'm with you on that. I didn't either. Maybe I should.
Yeah, you should, because
maybe
there's
tonight.
Some really graphic parts in there that I almost forgot about. And when I watched the second time, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah.
I think that's why I didn't watch it again. Like, it disturbed me so much on a different level than the Hereditary did that I was like, I don't need to see it again.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good movie, though.
Not one of my favorite movies ever, but Blair Witch.
Oh, okay.
Good example of wilderness, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Number two, Mandy.
Oh, man, I didn't even think about Mandy. Nice.
Yeah, they're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Red and Mandy. And their little, whatever his thing was, like a hippie hut. And number one, Evil Dead.
Nice.
Oh, dude.
Oh, honorable mention, I'll go with The Witch.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that one, too.
Just Witch.
Yeah, because that's out in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, it was they were a little bit outside of the community, I guess, but
quite a bit of wow. I mean, yeah. and the woods played a big part in that.
Yeah,
you know,
and that was because they kind of gave them the boot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, fantastic,
nice great. List.
Yeah, very good list. Holy shit, yeah. All right, let me give you my top five. So I my interpretation of this was more strictly trying to deal with things in the woods, I guess.
Okay, that's fine. I could have been more a little less vague in the.
But yet we all kind of did fall in there somewhere. So
yeah,
my number five, Prophecy.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one with the bears and the chemical spill and the it's pretty wild. My number four, which I just got this one on 4K, Congo.
Oh, oh I haven't seen that one in a long time.
Yeah.
That was like a summer blockbuster, wasn't it?
It was.
And it was in the jungle and those crazy fucking apes killing people.
Yeah.
It was pretty wild. My number three, which is one I think we reviewed a couple of years ago, Hellhole.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. It was good.
Yeah. My number two is Mandy. It's like we think alike on a lot of different fucking things, apparently.
Yep.
And my number one is Evil Dead. Yeah. The first Evil Dead.
There you have it.
And I have one honorable mention, The Watchers, which came out last year, I think. It was pretty interesting, but that was all in the
hood. Yeah, it was different.
I don't think I saw that.
It was different.
It's on streaming. You should check it out.
Yeah, it is. I think that's on Shudder, too, isn't it? Maybe?
Yeah, Watchers is on. Watchers. It was on Shudder. I don't know if it's still.
Yeah, they might have yanked it off. It was on Max.
I think where I watched it was on Max.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Nice. Great nice list, as always.
Real quick, since you both said about Mandy and Nicolas Cage, we were down in New Orleans this past weekend, and we did one of those like ghost/true crime tours.
Oh, fun.
And they showed the house. I don't know if you guys watched American Horror Story Coven.
Yeah.
Where that lady like tortured her slaves and stuff like that. Well, it's a real house down there.
Oh, wow.
And so they show you that house and talk about the. Anyway, Nicolas Cage owned that house a couple of years ago.
Oh,
it's changed hands a lot, you know, throughout the years because it's haunted, supposedly.
Oh,
anyway, our tour guide was talking about Nicolas Cage and was saying about how bad his movies are, and I took offense to it. And I said,
"Yeah, come on, Nicolas Cage movies are great."
I was like, "Come on, man, he's put out a lot of good stuff over the last like 5 years." Like,
yeah.
Dude, the one where he played Nicolas Cage,
oh, that was great.
That was fucking great. I love that move.
The unbearable weight of massive talent. Talent. Loved it. Him and Pedro Pascal together,
fucking amazing. Loved amazing. It.
He tries to say that he was playing a character of himself. I'm like, no, you weren't, dude. That's you.
That was you, bro.
That was you. So that was just a little quick story about Nicolas Cage.
Fun.
Did you guys ever see Pig?
Yes.
That was truffle. Fucking good, too.
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
Where he lost his shit over someone stealing his pig.
Yeah,
it
was an
ex-chef.
The ex-chef. Yep.
I can't wait to see that new one.
Yeah, who the hell was the who's the bad guy or the bad chef that stole his pig?
I couldn't remember. Interesting.
Right.
You're gonna make me look it up now.
Yeah. Wasn't it somebody famous? I want to say it was
Alex Wolff. Yeah. Alex Wolff. It was the kid. It was the kid from.
Tusk? No.
Nah. The Hereditary. Brother.
Oh, okay. All right.
The brother from Hereditary turned out to be the bad guy.
Yes, yes.
Nice. All right. There's your top five. Fantastic. All right. Now we got our movie review for this month is Hunter x Hunter, released in this 2024. This film came out. Is that right? Let me see. 2020 it came out.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hunter is a horror film. It has 64% on the popcorn meter and 94% on the tomato meter. This is directed by Sean Linden, produced by Neil Lehman, Juliet Hawopian. I don't know these fucking names. Screenwriter Sean Linden, distributed by IFC Films, Midnight. Produced by Mar Vista Entertainment, Particular Crowd, and Juliet. Has a R rating. It's a horror mystery thriller. It's in the English language. It was released December 18th, 2020 in theaters for a limited release. And then released on streaming on December 18th, 2020, the same day. It made $32,000 at the box office.
Oh,
and
boy.
Its runtime is 1 hour and 33 minutes.
$32,000.
It's a limited release.
I can't imagine it cost much to make the movie, though.
No.
I mean, probably more than that, but
yeah. Hunter x Hunter follows a family living in a remote wilderness, earning a living as fur trappers. Joseph Mersault, played by Devon Sawa, awesome, and his wife Camille Sullivan, his wife Annie, played by Camille Sullivan, and their daughter Renee, played by Summer Howell, struggle to make ends meet and think that their traps are being hunted by the return of a rogue wolf. Determined to catch the predator in the act, Joseph leaves the family behind to track the wolf. Annie and Renee grow increasingly anxious during Joseph's prolonged absence and struggle to survive without him when they hear a strange noise outside their cabin. Annie hopes that it is Joseph, but instead it finds a man named Lou, played by Nick Stahl, who has been severely injured, injured and left for dead. The longer Lou stays and Joseph is away, the more paranoid Annie becomes, and the idea of a mysterious predator in the woods slowly becomes a threat much closer to home.
Sorry, Craig looked like he was frozen there for a bit. That's
yeah,
what I was poking.
Something.
That's what I was poking.
Yeah,
no. That's what I was poking. I thought an hour and a half was good for this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. It was good. Yeah.
It was a slow burn.
Yeah, real slow, but and we forgot that we were going to start reviewing things by like category instead of just the full film. Yeah. I thought the cinematography for this movie was amazing, like the scenery and the shots. I thought were great.
Yeah,
really, really made me feel like I was out in the middle of nowhere.
Definitely had that feeling.
The music was good too. I thought the score also helped to build that. Tension
score was good. Yep.
Ominousness. Is that a word? Ominousness?
Ominousness.
Ominity.
Ominitiness.
It made it more ominous.
Yes. And Devin Sawa is a good actor. I don't care what anyone says. I thought he did a great job.
I thought he was great. I thought they actually were all pretty good. Like the only person I didn't think was that good was the deputy, the red haired chick. Her role was. Like, she didn't seem like she fit that role.
And the yuppie dude with the bears, he was terrible.
Oh, yeah, with the trash cans?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I see that as a reality situation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Fucking retards that don't realize they need to have a special garbage can that bears can't get into when you live in the woods like that.
That is the best when you find that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, it was a slow, as we said, it was a slow burn. But I think they did a really good job with character development. They really brought forth the difficulties of living there.
Yeah, you could feel the frustration in the wife
for sure,
given their living conditions. Especially when she brings up the fact that she wanted to like buy a house near town and. Get a job, maybe.
Their daughter could actually go to school.
Things were so tough. They're struggling so much, all that crap.
And but the daughter kind of seemed happy, right? That's what the funny
she
thing
did.
Was, the mom.
Yeah.
But the mom was still frustrated.
It seems like there was a more interesting situation going on there that they really didn't cover in depth, which is when she was finally concerned with her husband being gone for 36 hours, she went to the police, and they were like, that's federal land. How do you have a cabin there?
Yeah.
And it made me wonder, like, what the fuck was actually going on there with why he was living there? Like, maybe he was hiding out from something or something.
Yeah, that's what he said. Like, well, what do you want us to do? It's a wolf doing wolf things in the woods.
Weird
like,
too.
In federally protected land.
And we're like locals. We can't do anything, you know? Like,
I think in reality, they probably would have done something, you know what I mean? If somebody
I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
I got a feeling that if it's federal land, that local municipality could do nothing.
Well, especially
there.
I guess they weren't supposed to be living there either,
right?
Right.
Well, that's what the guy said. He said, you know, you really shouldn't be there to begin with. So if we get somebody out there, you know, you're going to be in more trouble than if we don't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess like it's kind of hard to talk about this without some spoilers. I guess.
Yeah, let's get into some spoiler territory.
Yeah, I said, it was a slow burn. So I mean, the story was basically them living, trapping. The father was teaching the daughter how to hunt and trap. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think I liked the movie, especially like the last 10 minutes just kind of like went off the rails like crazy.
I loved the last 10 minutes.
I like how they kind of flipped it, you know, like, and I think that's why the movie was probably called Hunter Hunter.
Yeah.
Cause they build up Devin Sawa to be
a hunter,
you know, outdoorsy, Yeah, outdoorsy, you know, self-made man. He can do it all on his own. Live off the land and do this shit. Yeah, and he was after this wolf. Like, he was focused on going out and hunting that wolf, which is funny because that's what the guy then says to him, to the woman, when she realizes that, you know, her husband's dead and not coming back, was that, yeah, this wouldn't have happened at all, but your husband wanted to find a wolf.
Right.
And I was like, oh, shit.
Well, and when she finally did find his body, I was like, oh, shit. They, like, fuck, that guy had to have fucking killed him. He had a bludgeoned head.
Yeah.
He did.
That scenario that he stumbled upon originally, that was the only thing I couldn't quite figure out. Like, when Devon Sawa first stumbled upon the all the female bodies, like, just in various stages of decay.
They were in various stages of decay, which tells me
that
that
guy...
She was
tied up, too.
Well, there were multiple girls, right?
But he's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah,
right. That was my thing. It's like he brought them there in different times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for a while. Yeah.
So it took me a while. Like, what? Like, he didn't say anything to anybody, which I get, because why would you want to tell your wife and daughter who your wife already...
Well, because I think he was trying to find the killer.
Right.
Devon
Sawa. That's what I think. That's why he got the bear traps out, because he thought...
That's right. He was trying to catch him
instead of the guy who did this. Obviously, he's going to come back here, and I'm going to get him when he comes.
Okay, see, I thought he because he had earlier talked about, like, the wolf being without its pack, we'll look for the weak and the dead and the decaying, and that's how that wolf, like, had that hand. So I thought he was staking out that spot right there because he knew that's where all those dead bodies were.
No,
and maybe the wolf was
not. I think he was going to...
No, because that one scene he saw her tied up, and you can see him, like, he's, like, looking at everything, like, he's going to try to find that dude. Yep.
Yeah, that was the impression I got.
Okay.
Yep. And that,
me
was,
too.
That makes sense, though. That's why I figured he got the bear traps. Because he wasn't looking the bear trap the wolf. He was looking the
big
bear
one,
trap
too. It wasn't, it wasn't for the wolf, because those things
that
were...
That poor bastard ended up getting his leg and his arm stuck in. Oh, that... That's fucking... I was like, oh,
bad.
Shit.
That's fucking...
Oh, the
bad.
Cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, let me tell you. Once when I was 19, I was living with my grandparents, and they live out in the woods. And the neighbor had a field in the hill behind our house where he grew crops, and bears would be coming through there all the time and eating his crops. So he set a bear trap, and one night it got the bear. I've never heard anything so fucking terrifying in my life as a bear howling in pain when it got caught in that trap. It scared the living fuck out of me because it was so horrifically loud.
Mm. And it was obviously in pain, which is
Oh my god, man! It was it kind of reminds you of, like, the first time you hear American Werewolf in London, the howl of the wolf.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a screeching howl like that from a bear. And it was pitch black. There were no road lights or anything. We lived down the fucking woods, and it was a new moon. And I just remember getting out of my car, running to my grandparents' house and going, fucking neighbor caught a bear. Because it was so loud.
Yeah. And that was a bear leg. Imagine that poor guy with his, like, a person leg and his fucking, arm.
Did he die at the end?
I don't think he was dead. Like, I think they...
Oh,
he
the
was
cop?
Dead?
No.
Yeah,
because
he
was
shooting
his
lips
rounds,
were turning blue. It looked like he was hypothermic.
Oh, yeah,
maybe.
He was probably in shock, and he was out there overnight, so he was probably damn near death. But I think they had him at least stabilized to get him back. So my other thing that I didn't understand was when she brought that guy back and was helping him out, and you could tell he was, like, playing up that he didn't want to leave, that it hurt so bad he couldn't...
Yeah.
Why couldn't she take him in the truck?
She was trying to drag him to the truck.
Yeah.
Oh, how?
And
God, that's
he,
right,
and he said,
truck
and
was,
he said, but here's the other thing:
the
is she could have just left him at
forgot,
the fucking
yeah.
house and gotten her truck and got help too. That was a big hole, I thought. Like, why didn't she just leave him?
Yeah,
because she
her
left
her
him anyway
left
to go
and drove down the road.
Yeah, to go get help.
Yep.
I was like, that could have been the end of this. So there's this big hole in the story, I thought.
Yeah, there were a couple of plot holes. There were a couple of weird things too. Like, I didn't believe that they lived in that rustic trailer, because there were, like, holes in the slatting on the side, so it definitely wasn't a place they spent the winters.
Well, I think he said that they lived. They had, like, a different place.
Oh, okay.
In the winter, they had two places. I remember them asking about it when she went to the to that station. Yeah, and they leave there before the winter comes. And I think they had mentioned of that too earlier on.
Okay, I must have missed
before
that.
The freeze comes in, he said something about that. Yeah. So, yeah, it's more of a summer type cabin.
And then
go ahead. My other thing too is, like, and again, I thought the last 10 minutes were fucking nuts and pretty freaking awesome. But up until that point, like, she had asked the daughter to help teach her how to, like, skin something. Because she didn't like know that. Like she said she used to go out with her grandfather or something like that, but like she didn't, so obviously she had her daughter show her how to do that for, because she killed Bambi, you know. So but then all of a sudden, like, she like
gutted
this skin this dude, like,
well, here's the thing. Like, she probably watched the husband a bunch of times. She was just testing the daughter, trying to get the daughter to help
okay.
out.
All right.
Yeah.
I think that's what was happening there. And but, the ending shocked the ever-loving fuck out of me.
I did not see that coming, man.
Not at all. I thought they were all going to die. But
yeah, I didn't expect the daughter to get
dude
it.
Alive, She put the headphones on and
that made it creepier. That music that guy was listening to, that she was then listening to as she was like doing that shit.
Well, the thing I really loved about her acting is when she saw the death of her daughter.
Like, oh yeah, dead. Dude! Like
you
she really
see
sold that
wash over her face, where like she lost
yeah.
it. Like that.
Yeah.
Her as a person was gone, and she was just there for vengeance.
And I really liked that they didn't even show anything.
Yeah,
like they open the door and like you just like you said, you could tell by her face. I'm like,
you could see it.
Boy,
he
must have really did a number on that daughter. Like,
yeah,
like,
well, plus he burned all the sheets and everything prior to that. So like, you're like, whatever
probably,
the fuck,
probably
you know, that's fucking terrible.
DNA.
Yeah, because I think he was about to do some bad things to her, too, before she caught him in the face with that bear trap.
Dude, the fucking bear trap, that little trap to the face? God damn.
Dude, that looked like it hurt. Like. I don't know if that was CGI or if it was practical effect, but I was like, oh, Jesus. And that's pretty much what set off that whole thing. Well, I mean, him like, about to rape her, like, was tense, too. Like, I was, like, sitting there like, oh, man, dude, this guy's like a scumbag. Like, just total fucking,
And that's where I think, to me, the name Hunter, because he was a hunter of women.
Exactly. Yeah. So it flipped it around. Then he was a hunter and, you know, he tracked them down. And again, if Devin Sawa wouldn't have been out there looking for that wolf, he would have been back there to protect his family.
Yeah. But when she strung him up and put on those headphones and that Blair music and she started filleting the skin off the dude. And then when it cut back to him, she walked out of the cabin with his face in her hand.
And they're all just standing there looking at her like,
what the fuck? And then they cut back to him. And like, his face is all skinned except for the one eye.
Yeah.
Like, eyes closed and the eyeballs like hanging. I'm like, holy
yeah,
because
she yanked his face off. Like, she went, whoosh.
Yeah. That, to me, that was chef's kiss. For that alone, that movie shocked me so much. I did not expect any of that.
No.
And I was like, fucking bravo. I like basically stood up clapping my hands like what a fucking movie. Like the whole movie was pretty slow, but that ending shook me, man.
It bumped up my review of the movie like a whole
definitely,
level. Yeah.
Definitely.
Cuz I enjoyed it. I thought it was a tight movie. It was well acted, well written. Like I said, the cinematography was great, but it was slow and there was a couple things
slow.
That just didn't, you know.
Yeah.
And up until that point, the horror of it was really more just like, you know, like anxiety and stuff like that of the wolf being out there and then being like alone longer and longer and longer without him, which was great, but it wasn't really like a horror ish, you know.
No, it really, the whole movie was all about that last third of the movie.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It all led up to that, which is kind of like hunting too.
Yeah.
All the tracking you do is just for that one, the kill, right? Like the last, you know, that's it.
Yeah. It brought back some of the hunting scenes. Especially the scene where the dad went out to hunt for the wolf and you heard his shot. And then the daughter was running with the gun and she hid behind a blind. And she was there with the gun and freaking out. It just made me think about when I was hunting. Because when I used to hunt with my uncles, where we hunted was on our grandparents' 85 acres. And like there were bears there, and I was always afraid of fucking bears. In the middle of deer season, it's like fucking 2 degrees out the weekend after Thanksgiving or whatever, and you're sitting in a blind and waiting for a deer to come by, and occasionally you would see a huge fucking black bear and be like, God damn, I don't think this gun will take that thing. I hope it doesn't smell me and come anywhere near me. You know, you'd freak the fuck out. So I felt like it brought back a lot of memories, but... But that ending part, man, I thought about it even afterwards. I watched it at night, and then like I was smoking a joint, and then I was like, I was getting ready to go to bed. I'm like, God damn, that was fucking gruesome.
Yeah, it was. It was really
gruesome.
Yeah,
and it was. It looked like it was largely practical effects too. So that was fucking wild.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I liked it enough that, like I said, that last 10 minutes. Probably bumped it up a level for me, so I'm going to go with a 3.5.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. Yep, that's on the mark, 3.5. Yeah, because I was going to say, like, it got 94% by critics and 64% by viewers, and I think I understand the 64% too, because like I said, a little bit slow, slow in the beginning,
and there's a lot of people that aren't into that, you know, like
you got to kind of hang in there.
It was worth it. It was worth the hanging in there.
The and you got it. Like I said, you had
like to think for how long.
Yep.
Good job, Devin Sawa.
Yeah, good job, Devin Sawa, for a 2020 film. Not bad. Again, Shudder gets these little beauties on there, and they're good. I like Shudder. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, fantastic. Thanks, everyone, again, for listening in and listening to our babbling and talking about horror films just for our own entertainment.
Yes.
If you have any suggestions for our future podcast, top five lists, or general feedback, you can email us at feedback@the-American-nightmare.com or visit us at the-American-nightmare.com. website. We're also on Blue Sky as @the-American-nightmare.com, or you can call us and leave us a voicemail, 1-562-247-5855. Leave us a voicemail, leave us some suggestions of what you think we should be doing with our next top five or movie review. There's a million horror movies out there. They're not all great, they're not all awesome, and they don't all suck. So give us some heads up. Tell us something we should be that we definitely should watch.
Yeah.
And we'll be more than happy to review it.
Please.
Until next month. Thanks for listening in.
Thank you.